There are two kingdoms in this world, the domain of darkness and the kingdom of God's Son, the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of Jesus Christ. These two kingdoms are at war. And when I learned this, I began to have victory in my life because I'm on the winning team. I'm on the winning side. These two kingdoms are very clearly taught in Scripture. This explains why evil things happen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, "For he," Jesus Christ, "rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son." Do you see two kingdoms there? The domain of darkness and the kingdom of his beloved Son. Verse 14, it says, "In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." It's important, I believe, for you to take notes to help you remember, but also so you can teach your kids and others at least some of the scriptures from this message, because it really is, in many situations, life and death. Verse 14, "In whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins." Now, you may have heard messages like this before, but faith comes by hearing, and by hearing, and by hearing. We forget, and we need to remember when everything's going wrong, there's evil forces behind that. And just trying to fix it may not work until you pray through and get victory over the forces that are at work against you. "In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." So there is a domain of darkness. "But we have been transferred from darkness to light, from Satan's kingdom to God's kingdom." We are in a different kingdom. We are now property of Jesus Christ. We're his servants. We serve him. We've been transferred out of the devil's control into the control of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Everything has changed for us. And now we need to understand, because we have changed sides and sided with Jesus Christ, the devil's out to get us. He has a wile, a strategy, a plan to take us down, and we have authority to take him down because we no longer serve him. And the Lord Jesus said, "I give you authority." And I've discovered that he has given me authority. So there he is, a domain of darkness, but we have been transferred from darkness to light, from the kingdom of the devil to the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 26, verse 17. This is Jesus Christ talking to Paul when he at his conversion. He says, "I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles." So whatever God has called you to do, he'll rescue you from your enemies that the devil raises up against you. "I'll rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the domain of darkness and from the power of Satan to God." Can you see two kingdoms there? He says to open their eyes and to turn them from the domain of darkness, is what it means, to light. "And among those who are and darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God." You've been under the power of the devil. Now you're under the power of God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So that's Jesus Christ talking to his new convert that is now being transferred from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of the Son, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. There is the kingdom of evil and the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus tells Paul, "I have called you to turn other people from darkness to light." I've called you to win people over from Satan's kingdom, that I might transfer them into my kingdom. And that's what we're all called to do. Can you say amen? Is to do everything we can to transfer everybody in Satan's kingdom into God's kingdom. Not just sit around and criticize them because there's such wicked, evil people. And realize we have been transferred. We have no right to look down our long righteous nose at them. And we need to ask the Lord to anoint us to win them over so they'll change sides. I have called you to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. That applies to our family members. We need to do everything we can to win every one of them to Jesus Christ. So obviously Satan has his kingdom and God has his. And they are working against each other. That's why you have a lot of attacks sometimes, is because you're working for the Lord and the devil doesn't like it. We are at war and we are on the winning side. And many times when I preach this message, the devil has attacked me. I mean, he came, comes against me. He wants to kill me because he don't want me telling you this. Because once you realize you have authority over him, you'll kick his tail out. And so last night, I got up in the middle of the night, woke up, and if I wake up in the middle of the night, I say, devil, I'm going to teach you not to wake me up. And so I always pray for about an hour before we go back to bed. So I was up praying. I'm going to tell you, the devil came against me so strong, it's almost like I was eyeball to eyeball with old Slewfoot himself. The power of God, the power of the devil was all around me. The hairs of my arm were even standing up. Okay. And I realized, buddy, that I was facing that double, and I started rebuking him in the name of Jesus Christ, and I attacked back. You know, I take authority over you in the name of Jesus Christ. You get out of here, to God be the glory. And he took off. Well, what if I didn't know that? A lot of times people get under attack like that, depression, oppression, fear, and doubt. And if they don't know to get rid of it, it can destroy their life. Is Alice in here? She has one of the best testimonies. I mean, she actually, the devil confronted her almost face to face. I mean, he was real. He was making noise. And we've talked about her sharing it, but we, for some reason, just never got around to it. But I'm telling you, the devil's real. And I say most Christians, they don't even believe there's a devil. Well, so therefore, there's no wonder they live in failure and defeat and die with every little thing that comes down the pike. They do not realize they have a real enemy, and they don't even know what the scripture teaches like I'm teaching you today. So they sit back and let the devil destroy them, thinking, well, it's God. God is teaching me something. Well, God can teach you something, but he also can take the devil's evil work and turn it to good. It's called redemption. And so a lot of people say, well, because good came out of it, God sent it. Because God brings good out of it doesn't mean that God sent it. See, you're a sinner lost in darkness, and the Lord redeemed you and brought you out. Did God put you in darkness? No. And so God redeems bad things and brings good out of it. That's who he is. That's what salvation is all about. Him redeeming me and bringing good things out of something that was once rotten and corrupt. That's called redemption. And so Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in other words, in darkness, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So in the King James, it says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. In other words, every one of us was in the kingdom of darkness, and we've been transferred as born-again believers into the kingdom of the Son. And then it says, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler. King James says, the prince of the kingdom of the air. And so we served Oslufut. But now, because we accepted Jesus Christ, we've been transferred out of his kingdom into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says we're now fellow citizens with the saints. We're no longer of this world. We're of the heavenly realm. Somebody say amen. Amen. The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So Satan does his work through disobedient, evil, wicked people. He uses people to steal, kill, destroy, rape, murder, and all the wicked things you see happening in these gangs all across America and all around the world of all the terrorists. That is Satan working through evil, demonized people to do his work, to steal. Jesus said he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so the neat thing is we've been transferred out of his kingdom into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, and now we have authority over Satan. Jesus said, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do you believe that? I give you authority. Who said that? Jesus. Can you believe him? I have found out I have authority. And whatever the devil was using against me last night, try to shut me up, I took authority over him and come in and get out, and he had no choice but to leave. And it doesn't just work for bald-headed preachers. It works for everyone who believes it. Jesus said something kind of neat, according to your faith, so be it unto you. Do you believe that you have authority to tell demons and devils to hit the road? I'm going to keep reading these scriptures so it will prove to you that you have that kind of authority. Paul says, you were dead in your sins when you served the ruler of the evil kingdom who is now at work in those who are disobedient. This evil ruler has his own kingdom, and it is made up of fallen angels, demons, and disobedient, rebellious, evil people. So the devil does his stealing, killing, and destroying through demonized people. Satan is working through the evil, disobedient people to kill, steal, and destroy. The evil one constantly works to produce fear, doubt, depression, oppression, strife, rebellion, and ungodly lust. I think last night he was trying to put fear in me, hoping I would back off. But I don't back off. Why back off when you know you've already won? I hear Christians saying that, and they don't even know what they mean because they don't know these scriptures. But we have already won. You say, well, how did we win? Let me explain that to you. When Jesus Christ shed his blood, and his blood, when you put your faith in him, his blood was used to blot out your sins. And here's how it works. When your sins are blotted out, Satan no longer has a legal right to touch you. And you now have authority over him. See, he has no right to touch me, not because I'm such a wonderful person. He has no longer a right to touch me because my sins have been blotted out. Sin opens the door to the devil. Adam and Eve opened the door to the devil by sin. And we can do the same thing. But if those sins are blotted out, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we ask him to forgive our sins, they're blotted out, and we stand before God righteous as if we'd never sinned one time, and the devil no longer has a right to touch us, and we have a right to take authority over him and tell him to get out. And I'll read a specific verse on that in a little while if I get to it. The evil one constantly works to produce fear. A lot of times you just have a spirit of fear. Now just think for a moment. Have you ever had a time when you were afraid and you had no reason? And I used to have a spirit like that because of where I was raised and how I was raised in violence. And even after I came here, sometimes I'd have a spirit of fear come over me in the middle of the night, just shaking the covers off. I had nothing to be afraid of. What do you think that is? I ate the wrong hamburger meat? No, it's a spirit. And now I know what that is. It says, you get out, devil. You're putting fear on me. Because he wants you to back off. Even at work, he wants to put a spirit of fear on you so you don't press in and do your best. Well, if I do that, I might fail. If you don't do it, you might fail. Somebody say amen. The evil one constantly works. Does this make any sense? The evil one constantly works to produce fear, doubt, depression. Have you ever just felt down and depressed and everything's going good? You're living in a beautiful house, it's air conditioned, everything, got plenty of food, good job, a lot of money, and you're just down. And it's not always. I mean, we have our moods and stuff, but sometimes that's a spirit. And if it discerns the spirit, you tell it where to go. This is why we need to be a doer of the word and be full of the power of God. We really are in a war. And he uses depression, oppression, fear, doubt, strife, anger, all these things against us. But he also works through evil people. I was reading a story from the news just several days ago. And this young boy, he made some gang members mad. He's a good kid. And so one of them asked him to go with them to meet a girl. And so he went. And when he got there, he realized there were all the enemies and they were going to kill him. And he began to beg for his life, and he said, I don't want to die, I don't want to die, I don't want to die. They killed him anyway. Now, how can anybody do that? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the world you live in. But you have authority over those people. You really do. I didn't have this in the sermon, but you remember Elymas? Paul was preaching to the governor. Was it Cyprus, one of the islands? And Elymas, the sorcerer, kept interfering, trying to keep or prevent the governor from becoming a Christian. And Paul says, you son of the devil. I'm glad he said it that way. You son of the devil. He said, you're going to be blind for a season. Paul took authority over him because he's a demonized man, and he went blind temporarily. Do you believe you have that kind of authority in the name of Jesus? If someone is trying to harm you or hurt you? I believe if that boy had known the power of God, he could have shut him down. So you're not doing anything to me. I'm the property of God. Now, you may think this is totally nuts, but if you're ever in this situation, you better remember this. At least you got a chance of survival. Can you say amen? And I've done this. I've used it. I'm telling you, it really works. You have that kind of authority. But according to your faith, you can't sit there and say, I don't believe that. Well, you just canceled it out. Especially when you say with your mouth, I don't believe that. Jesus said, according to your faith. Now, you understand what I'm quoting and what I'm reading is not me. I'm reading and quoting the Word of God. I'm reading and quoting, in many cases, exactly what Jesus said. John chapter 8, verse 44, you belong to your father, the devil. This is Jesus. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. There's some people just so full of the devil, they really want to rape, murder, steal, kill. Sometimes don't even have a good reason. They just somehow get some kind of satisfaction out of hurting people. You belong to your, and I'm just reading this what he says. Is it on the screen? Well, that's an anointed screen if it's on the screen. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer. There you have it. From the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. He lies. He speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Don't let that scare you, because you have authority over him and his demonized people. Jesus says Satan is a murderer and a liar. He uses his people to murder, steal, and to deceive. The secular humanists teach there are no absolutes, no right or wrong, no truth. And when these young men and women from my church go to school, that concerns me, because some profess, even in a Christian school, sometimes they can come up with some things that will really cause them to doubt God. Because the devil's always working to kill our faith, especially the faith of our young people. When I was in college, he tried that on me. But God would always send you somebody to help you to know the truth and stand in faith. All of these deceptions are coming straight from Satan, the father of lies. He wants to deceive all of our young people to believe that there's not a God, that evolution, we were all created by evolution. We were a little amoeba out in the ocean, and we just evolved into the most complex thing. I mean, the human eye is the most complex camera ever built. And I mean, the human body is the greatest testimony that God is real. Can you say amen? And they say, well, it just evolved. Well, the problem is they never explained where that amoeba came from. Where'd the water come from? It was a great bang. Well, that's almost right. The Bible says it was a great voice that God spoke it into existence. He spoke this world into existence, and he created the animals, and then he took dirt and formed us special and breathed life into us. So we have a spirit animals do not have. We're special. So we're not just another animal that evolved out of the ocean. We're the creation of God, and God holds us accountable for every idle word. Somebody say, I thought somebody might say, oh me. John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief cometh. Now, who said this? Who said this? Jesus. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Can you see a difference there between Satan and Jesus? He came that you might have the abundant life. It doesn't mean you're going to live in a bed of roses, because there's a devil. And when you learn to take authority over him, it makes your life a lot better. I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. It is Satan's children of disobedience that come to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said he came, the devil did, that Jesus said that he came that we might have life and that more abundantly, but the enemy and his demonized people and demons come to steal, kill, and destroy. And part of that deception, part of his stealing comes by deceiving you and me to believe that bad things come from God and we need to receive it. That's a deception. I guarantee you, you cannot find, matter of fact, let me just challenge you. Find one place in the Bible where God ever put anything bad on a good, godly person. I don't have any problem challenging you because I know you're not going to find it. It says Jesus Christ went about doing good and healing all the oppressed of the devil. Never one time did he put anything bad on anyone to teach them anything. Listen, you need to know the truth. Quit listening to so many preachers and believe what the Bible says. Most of us believe what we believe because we heard some preacher preach it. Well, I made up my mind a long time ago. I'm not believing no man. So I have spent my whole life, and you can tell I'm about 110 years old, I've spent my whole life studying this Bible, and there's not one place in it where God ever put anything bad on a good, godly person. Now, he allowed people to go through things like Joseph. And if I'm going to come out and be prime minister, I'm willing to go through a few bad things. But the point is, God used those bad things and redeemed them and made him prime minister of Egypt. He didn't use those things to destroy him. He used those things to bless him. Y'all paying attention yet? Am I glad you came to church? Am I sorry you passed up that good Baptist church and you came over here to these crazy people? Yeah, I'm a Baptist too, by the way. I grew up Baptist, graduated from Southern Baptist Seminary, but I've been tampered with a little bit by the Holy Spirit, hopefully. But anyway, when you discern you got an enemy, it changes everything. Hey, God didn't put this cancer on me. It was the devil. I mean, you start thinking like that. He has given us authority over Satan. And the Word of God lists the works of darkness, and they are forbidden. We must reject them. Romans chapter 13, verse 12. The night, somebody unplug that clock. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of God, God's truth. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. These are all works of darkness. Verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Put on the character of Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for the flesh. If you eat too much ice cream, then do not buy it. Yay. And do not put it in your freezer. And if you do, buy little cups. And make sure when you dip it out, you just put in a little. Can you say amen? Because you have to be able to control the flesh. Make no provision for the flesh. Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We are renewed and transformed by the Holy Spirit and the Word. I think differently than a lot of preachers because I spent so much time in the Word of God. It's changed the way I think. If I feel like a sickness is coming on, I don't go around telling people I'm sick. It's happening to everyone else. It's going to happen to me now. No, I just quote the scripture, with his stripes I'm healed. Why do I do that? Because my mind has been programmed with the Word of God. And I don't mean to sound perfect, man. I wind up doubting God just like everybody else. But when you program your mind with the Word of God will eventually come to your mind. And like last night, at first I didn't know what was going on when I felt the presence of the devil so real. And then my mind got to work and said, oh, wait a minute. You know, I got authority over him. And I kicked him out. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. James chapter 3, verse 14. Can y'all listen fast? My enemy back there, the clock, is working against me. James 3, 14. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, let me show you how the devil works in you and your family. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. You see, this wisdom descendeth not from above, this way of doing things, using strife. This way of doing things is not from heaven, not from God, not from above, listen, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. So strife is a trick of the devil to steal and destroy the peace in your family and maybe even destroy your marriage. And when you have strife in your family, you need to stop and take authority over it. You see, this way of doing things is from the devil, the evil one. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. If the devil can get strife in you and your husband, your children, he can wreck your lives. He's working at that. Something that sounds that simple, he's working to get you into strife so you wreck your marriage. Dottie and I have been married 54 years. We've had a lot of opportunities to have strife. But we've learned to take authority of it and kick it out before it wrecks our marriage. The prince of darkness uses our selfish ambition and strife to bring confusion in every evil work. So everything the devil does is not necessarily some spectacular thing. Sometimes it's just strife, envy, selfishness, unforgiveness. Somebody say amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. Those who oppose him, the leader, listen, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. What he's saying is, preacher, continue to preach the truth, that people will know the truth, because the truth will set them free if you keep preaching it. And if they come to their senses and believe it, they can escape from the trap of the devil. It can be addictions to stronghold, drugs, spirits of fear, doubt, unbelief, depression. Those things can be broken off of you when you know the truth. And that's the objective today, is just teach the truth, that you have authority over these things the devil brings against you. And no matter what the devil brings against you, you can escape. Even if you're a Christian and you have some addiction to drugs or alcohol, some stronghold in your life, you can break that thing off right here, right now, today, by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. It says here that they may come to their senses and realize basically what it means, that they can't escape that trap of the devil. They don't have to allow it to destroy them. We can escape by discovering the truth from God's word. That's why we need to know these scriptures. That's why I'm not up here giving you my opinion, a bunch of stories. This, to read the word of God, that's where victory comes from. In the name of Jesus, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can have faith to escape anything and everything the devil has got you into. Even if you got into some bad company and you're having a hard time getting out, like that young man that got killed. I mean, he got in with the wrong group and he needed to escape, get out of that. And if he'd been, if he had been a born-again believer and knew the word of God, he could have got out of it by believing the Lord to deliver him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Satan and his human servants are the deceivers, neither fornicators. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, or adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Don't get mad at me for reading that. I didn't write it, but you need to know it. Those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Doesn't matter how much the college professor, seminary professor, whatever says something opposite to the word of God. The word of God is always true. And we're going to find out that on Judgment Day. So we need to serve God and obey him now. This is truth. secular humanist preachers would tell you it doesn't matter how you live. But those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God according to the word of God. I cannot get up here and change the word of God. Pope John Paul II was challenged over some of these things. He's been dead, of course, for several years. But he said, I cannot change the teachings of Jesus Christ. That's what the Pope said. Well, if he can't change the teaching of Jesus Christ, neither can anyone else. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Here you go. And wiles mean strategies or plans. The devil has wiles, strategies, and plans to destroy our lives. Every one of us. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Are y'all listening? I'm reading it. For we wrestle not, struggle not, fight not against flesh and blood. And some people think, well, if I can just be strong enough, I can conquer this thing. Well, your battle is not always just with yourself or just with flesh and blood, because Satan will use your fleshly desires. He's sort of like he strengthens those desires to the point you really can't hardly overcome it unless you know the devil is working behind it and you take authority over him. I'm not doing that, devil, and I bind you off of me. I will not yield to that temptation. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. All the time I hear people say, well, if I can just conquer this thing. Well, you may have to do some praying and believe God to set you free. Escape from the trap of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are at war, but our war is with principalities, powers, and spiritual wickedness. This source of wickedness is intelligent, deceiving, and working against us. This is why we need to know the truth. This is why we need to have a group of people, like right here in this church, that will agree with us and pray with us, stand with us. I've got people in this church, when I'm facing a problem, I feel like it's a little too big for me, I call them and get them to pray with me, because we are really in a spiritual warfare. That's really all I'm trying to say. We are in a spiritual warfare, and we need to know that there's things that we have to have God's help with. We have to have his power. We have to have his authority. He gives us authority, but it really is his authority. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, do not be deceived. There you have it. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he'll reap. Verse 8, for the one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. The secular humanists say there is not a God. Man is just another animal. Therefore, there is no accountability. The truth is we will all reap what we sow. That's the truth. So that's just another deception of the enemy. Well, you can just do anything you want to. That's why I get a lot of our young kids in trouble. The professors in these universities tell them, well, just try illicit sex. You might like it. Try drugs. You might like it. Try this. Try that. And they know it's bad. And then when the kids try it and get in trouble and get pregnant or something like that, they're never there to pay the bill. They tell our kids these things and get them in trouble, but they're not there to help when they get in trouble. We will give an account to God in this life and the next. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Be very careful then how you live. Be careful how you live. That's what God says. Be careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understanding what the Lord's will is. So we must not be unwise. How do you make wise decisions? Based on the Word of God and on prayer. Some people make decisions, Christians, and never even pray about it. And sometimes in the past here, people thought I was dragging my feet too much. But my goal is never to do anything until I pray through and know I've heard from God. You don't have to make bad decisions if you pray and seek God. You can't just make a wise decision. You need to ask God. What am I supposed to do? I got some big things right now in my own life I'm praying about. I'm not moving until I hear from God. We must not be unwise, but wise in all of our decisions. The devil is trying to set us up for defeat, and therefore we must be wise, because when God opens one door, the devil opens two more. Okay, and you got to be wise to discern which door it is. Somebody say amen. God called me and Dottie come and start this church. Amen. I prayed for weeks until I knew I had really heard from God. And then I had to act on that faith and load the U-Haul and come. And the proof's in the pudding. God has worked all kind of miracles here. We're sitting on a piece of property probably worth $20, $25 million. I mean, God has worked great miracles, but it didn't just happen. I had to hear from God, obey God, and you got to do the same thing. You can't make unwise decisions because the devil is trying to cause you to make bad decisions. I went a long way around the barn to tell you that, okay? But the devil's trying to cause you to make bad decisions, and you don't have to. 2 Corinthians, do y'all have an appointment somewhere else? Okay, I'll keep going. 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Who believes that? You're able to pull down strongholds in your own life. 5, casting down imaginations. When you have a crazy imagination that tells you you're going to die with cancer and all kinds of stuff, cast it down. Don't let it take root. You can open the door to bad things by not getting rid of that imagination. Cast it down. And I'm not talking about the doctor says it. I'm just talking about sometimes you just have a crazy imagination. And I believe they're demonic in many cases. Not every case. Casting down imaginations and every high thing, listen, that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Anytime any thought comes against the truth of God's word, you can know it's of the devil. Right? Casting out imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Satan is a source of strongholds, addictions, evil imaginations, and destructive demonic thoughts. He'll put thoughts in your head. You'll come in this church and somebody get busy and kind of ignore you, and the devil will say, well, they don't like you. I wouldn't come back to church here anymore if I was you. Have you ever had the devil tell you something like that? Well, a preacher doesn't like you. He walked right past you. Didn't say a word. Well, he was just in a hurry. He didn't mean to hi-hat you, but the devil tells you he don't like you. Now, don't sit there and act innocent, because I know the devil tells me stuff like that, and I know you're not that much better than me. He tells you stuff like that too. We cannot win. You say, well, that's just my thinking. Well, sometimes it is, and sometimes it really is demonic. We cannot win just through human effort, but we must use our God-given authority to pull down strongholds, cast down imaginations, and take captive bad thoughts as contrary to the word of God. And there's a scripture that says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes me to triumph in Christ. In other words, which always causes me to win. And the devil will tell me every time, well, you're going to fail this time. You're not going to make it. You've been making it for 100 years, but now this is it. You're going down this time. And I say, now thanks be unto God. What are you going to say? Quote a scripture. If you don't have one, get this one. Now, thanks be to God, which always causes me to triumph in Christ. Paul said that when they had been through some really bad things, and they came out on the other side, great. And he said, now, thanks be to God, which always causes me to triumph, which always causes me to win. God helps me to win. If God told me to do it, he's going to help me win. Somebody say amen. He said, well, what good does that do? If you believe you can, you probably can. And if you believe you can't, you probably can't. Y'all pay attention. If God says, I can win, bless the Lord, I'm going to win. Well, you've never had any failures, defeat? Well, sure, when I miss God. But if I pray until I hear from God, I haven't had any. I win. I got two people agreeing with me. Do y'all know how you're supposed to agree with the preacher? Amen. Let's try that. Amen. One more time. Okay. 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. So that's what the devil's up to. He's trying to destroy your faith with doubt and unbelief. And sometimes you pray for something and you don't get it. And the devil says, see there, God's not answering your prayer. No, if you don't get it, then that means God's got something better. He's got something better. So don't think that God didn't hear you. He hears you. But sometimes he has to give us what he knows is best. But he always answers my prayer. If he doesn't give me what I want, he gives me something better.